Welcome one and all to episode 415 of Signals from Mars. Yes, since 2009, I'm your host, Victor, and for this episode, my good friend Jeremy Weltman is back to talk about new releases that came out in May of 2025. To keep things going, to help you lazy listeners out there, to help people continue to light the fire in music.
I'm ready.
Let's do it!
Let me kick things off by thanking my patrons for being such awesome followers. Let's go oldest to newest. Steven Saylor, Steven Hoker, Jeremy Weltman, Mike Jones, Brad Dahl, Gabriel Ruiz, Chris Vaglio, Metal Dan, Johan Edistrom, Ed Ferguson, Anthony Mackey, Tony Espin. Despo Geek, which is technically Chris Sinzak, and Sean Richmond. Thank you guys for all of your support. You can become a patron for as little as $2 a month. And what that entitles you to do is get the VMR podcast, where I talk about behind the scenes stuff going on in my life, talking about podcasting, talking about music news, with the solo show that I did a few episodes back is kind of a peek into what I do there. Also, you get videos every single day. So if you're into an episode like today's episode where you want to find new music to continue building that playlist, that 2025 playlist, got you covered with Patreon. You know, you'll find a lot of great music, sometimes not so great music. There's a little of everything. I like to dabble in all things hard rock and metal. So you get stuff that's everything from AOR to extreme metal. I like to cover all bases and know that not all of us like all the same stuff. And maybe that's a detriment because I'm not in one corner just doing, you know, 80s hard rock, which is fine because I think that would drive me nuts. As much as I love talking about one band or another all the time, and a band may be my favorite, I need to listen to more things and talk about more things than just that one band. And that's not a slag at anyone who does episodes or does a podcast based on one band. Speaking of which, next Friday, June 27th, we shall be talking Megadeth. So if you want to vote on the Megadeth episode, which my patrons will appear on screen. So if you are a patron, you will have access to appear and comment live in person on our top 10 Megadeth album countdown and countdown to Megadeth. There you go. And how that works is I ask people to submit their 10 favorite albums by the band in order, 1 to 10 or 10 to 1, whatever, however you choose to sort them. And from there, each album gets assigned a point as a result. If it's number 1, it gets 10 points. If it's 10, it gets 1 point. So it gets assigned points, and then it gets ranked based on how many points each album gets. And then we have a fun discussion. So if you want to be part of that, you need to become a patron in order to do so. You still can vote regardless. Hit me up. Either you can email me at signalsfrommars@signalsfrommars.com. Or if you find me on any of the social media sites, which you can also find on signalsfrommars.com, you can send me a direct message and let me know what your favorite Megadeth albums are. I do want to thank you for listening to this episode. Hopefully this episode helps you check out a new album, a new track, helps expand that soundtrack of your life, and hope you guys enjoy it. Thanks so much for listening, and here we go. Welcome one and all to another episode of Signals from Mars. I'm your host, Victor. And for this episode, I welcome my good friend Jeremy Weltman back to discuss May 2025 new releases in hard rock and metal. Jeremy, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing well. Thanks, Victor. It's actually still light here in the UK at this time. So obviously it's June and wow. It's more of an AOR evening than a black metal evening, I'd say. How are you doing?
Okay. Doing all right. The sun probably went down about an hour ago. But for all of you people on the East Coast of the U.S., the sun does stay up till 10 or 11-ish at night for us and for Jeremy, as he's saying. And we don't have those 7 p.m., where the sun is gone. But then again, we also don't have the sun rising at 3:45 in the morning. So that kind of makes up for it. It probably isn't sunlight here till about 7-ish. So I don't know how it is for you in the UK, which is a little farther up, but for us, it's that way here. So, all right. Jeremy and I are going to be talking about new releases that have come out in May of 2025. And we're also going to be touching upon some other hard rock and metal related things. So let's kick things off with May 2nd. We had new albums from Skyjoggers, Paradise Slaves, Acres, Crematory, Maestric, The Crystal Teardrop, Scott Heppel and the Sun Band, Lux Interna, Leper Colony, Hate, The Flower Kings, Gypsy Pistoleros, Propagandi, Puddle of Mud, Under Ruins, Falling from Grace, and Hang Fire. We had live albums from Dune, and that's it for this week. Jeremy, what did you listen to this week?
Yeah, so I started off the month listening to three albums. I started off with Age of the Void by Under Ruins, a band that was formed in 2023 from members of Them and Lanfear, and it's actually their debut album. I guess you kind of describe it as a sort of traditional or sort of epic metal album. For the most part as well, I'd say it's a pretty fine effort. It had some very strong riffs on there. Had sort of plenty of what I describe as ferocity, Nordic influences. You know, there's a little bit of doomy influences on there. It's also very melodic, and it had some really solid vocals from a chap called Nuno Miguel de Barros Fernandez. Even if there wasn't too much variation on the album. So I like that one. And then I went to At the Edge by Grace. This one was a sort of fierce sort of thrash groove metal band from Finland. Unfortunately, though, it had some sort of growly vocals, which was a bit of a shame because there was really some sort of blistering fretwork on this album. Kind of made me think, too, what it would be like if sort of Richie Faulkner did thrash. And this is kind of the answer. That was the what I got from this one. It was a sort of a mix of sort of the very heaviest Priest with some sort of very sort of tight Testament type music. And for that reason, it was, for me personally, it was very listenable. Sort of melodic, groovy pummeling, you know, just sort of what metal is all about, really. But just a little bit sadly ruined by the growly vocals for me because I'm not that keen on that. So I also listened to Burn by Hang Fire. This one, you know, also had some sort of quite heavy guitar on it. It had a female singer as well, so it made it more listenable in terms of the vocals. It's another debut album. And this is a band that hails from Washington State, apparently. So, and what I like about this one is it sort of stays well clear of the pop or the generic metal sort of sound and keeps a nice hard edge to it. I'd say not every song is great, but there's, you know, a real sort of decent amount of energy and enthusiasm on the 12 songs. So that was a good listen as well. And I didn't in advance pick the one for the week, but looking at the three, I'd probably go for maybe Age of the Void by Under Ruins. I think that one probably just about tips it for me.
Okay. I listened to a few different things. I listened to Hate, their new album, Bellum Regis, which is a full-on death metal album. The Flower King's Love, which is 70s throwback prog rock. I mean, if you're into early Genesis, Peter Gabriel Genesis, that's probably right up your alley. Propagandhi, the Canadian band, came out with At Peace. There are aspects of the album that I really like, and there are aspects that just kind of don't do anything for me. And I had to check out the Puddle of Mud album, Kiss the Machine. I will always say this, that first Puddle of Mud album is really good. It's incredible late 90s radio rock and has a lot of good music on it. What it is, it's one of the best albums of that time period, I think. But they've never done anything that's remotely close to it. And this album is not good. Anyway, I'm going to have to go with Gypsy Pistoleros with Welcome to the Church of the Pistoleros. It's a little mix of everything. There is obviously some pop music, or not pop, excuse me. There's punk. There's some metal music in there, some hard rock. And they cover an old Ricky Martin song, Living La Vida Loca, Living La Vida Loca. As it would be properly pronounced. And I'm listening to it, and I was thinking, okay, interesting. Not my first choice of covers, but okay. That's my album of the week. Which one did you say, Jeremy?
So Age of the Void by Under Ruins.
Okay. I just want to make sure that I note that. All right. So 5-9, March 9th, we had new albums from Edensong, Tetrarch, Kantars, I guess that's how you pronounce it, Behemoth, Omnious Ruin, Liminal Spirit, Lacabra, Arcade Fire, Steve Dadian, I guess. Black Map, Sleep Token, Statement, and Paralyzed. EP from Candlemass, which was a bunch of covers and two new tracks, if I'm not mistaken. And there was a live album from Hawken. Jeremy, what did you listen to?
Yeah, so I did give the Statement album, Sinister Thing, a listen. Believe it's studio album number 5 from these Danish hard rockers. And, you know, it's a perfectly satisfactory listen, really. It's kind of a well-trodden path of sort of, you know, bang average, heavy numbers with sort of hard-hitting guitars and vocals. But, you know, all the songs are really played well. They're produced well. There's even the occasional sort of Volbeat harmonies on the album. It's just that there are sort of very few sort of the ear, what I would describe as earworm melodies and unforgettable choruses that you know you really need on a better album. So yeah, it was okay, but it wasn't, you know, didn't really sort of float my boat too much. I did listen to Rumble and Roar by Paralyzed. This is a really sort of good time old style sort of free Rolling Stones Zep influenced album. It's on the Ripple label, and the singer is a little bit gruff, but it's very good. It has lots of contrast on the album. Railroad is a sort of 70s foot stomper. There's, you know, the light acoustic interlude of The Myth of Love. And I think you can really imagine what the song Heavy Blues sounds like. It's all a little loose, and it sounds as if it's live in the studio as well, which is sort of typical of many Ripple releases. And that isn't a bad thing. You know, I enjoyed it. It was good. So that have the thumbs up. And finally for that week, I did listen to the Black Star EP by Candlemass. Just 4 tracks, as you mentioned. Includes the cover of Sabbath, Bloody Sabbath, which I actually liked. I thought it was a good cover. The second track, an instrumental I wanted to point out called Corridors of Chaos, had a really sort of meaty Iommi-influenced riff. Not a band, actually, that I've given much time to in the past, but I did like them. I did like this. I thought it was good, even though it was only four songs. So I guess I can't pick that as my album of the week because it wasn't an album. It's an EP. So I will go for the Paralyzed album, Rumble and Roar.
You know, we make our own rules here. So if you want to make that album of the week, you can make that your album of the week.
That's true. I could do. But no, I'm going to, I've said it, and the boys from Paralyzed are going to be very disappointed if I change my mind.
Okay. All right. So, okay. So I listened to, did I mention this? I mentioned Sleep Token. I'm forgetting here that, you know, what I just read, but anyway, Sleep Token, even in Arcadia, I talked about them in the last episode. I did give the album a listen. It's not as bad as I was expecting. I like the first track, actually. But it's too repetitive for me. A lot of piano, a lot of mellow vocals. And you get harsh vocals from time to time, and you get some down-tune heaviness and double bass from time to time. And if that's your thing, then so be it. I know that a lot of people are really into them right now. I was trying to draw a comparison because I really like Poppy. And obviously it's in her name. She's very poppy at times, but very heavy as well, with a lot of guttural vocals, but with a lot of melodies. And what the difference is between Poppy and Sleep Token. I think what Poppy's doing is a lot more exciting to me than what Sleep Token is doing. Personally, that's just my personal opinion. If you like Sleep, check the album out. Arcade Fire, for example, was on one of the metal sites. Arcade Fire is a huge band. And no one's going to confuse them with a hard rock or a metal band. This was straight up pop, you know, where Sleep Token, I think a lot of people are trying to say, oh, well, they're the newest evolution of metal. This is where metal is going. And I just don't see it. I mean, if I throw heavy distorted guitars on Depeche Mode, are they metal all of a sudden? I would say no, you know? Even though their drummer's playing double bass in concert and stuff like that, it's still Depeche Mode. It's still, you know, pop. My album of the week is going to be Tetrarch with The Ugly Side of Me. Really love this band. Really love what they're doing. Yes, this is regurgitated 90s new metal. Still poppy, still heavy, still melodic is what I should say instead of poppy. It's got a lot of really cool melodies to it. And a lot more hooks than their previous album. And I really like it. So that is my pick for this week. All right. Let's see who we have here in the chat. Edgar Winterson. Jeremy put 50 pence, I guess. 50p in the meter. And he says, if you need Sleep Token, you need help. Well, the UK press and Andy Copping are the ones that are really behind them. So, and what Edgar is probably alluding to is that Jeremy, I didn't want to say anything just for the fluidity of the show, is that your camera is completely black. The it stuttered there for a second and everything. You became the Spinal Tap and or Metallica self-titled and or Back in Black.
Oh, so am I still blacked out? Is that what I want?
Yeah, you're
blacked. I am. So yeah. I should really leave and rejoin. So you're going to read out the next albums and I'm going to quickly, shall I quickly go back in?
Yeah.
Do that. Yeah, we did that last time and it worked. Yeah, I'll give it a go. Give it a go. All
right. So May 16th, we had new albums from Patchwork, Giant, Rockets, You're still actually in black, Jeremy.
Oh, no, I don't believe it.
Yeah. Larsenia Rowe, Droth, Anthropomorphia, Nightland, Novelist, Barry Tomorrow, Wounded Touch, Tarja, Executionist, 11th Ray, Arm's Length, Death Before Disorder, Waltari, and Magic Pie. So there we go. We can see you again. There are reissues from Art Nation, 3 from Hex House, and Linkin Park is released from Zero. From Zero Deluxe Edition. And there's a compilation from Metalville, a Paul Di'Anno in memory of. All right. So what did you listen to this week, Jeremy?
Yeah, this is weird because I can hear you. It's like we've got a new stylus. It's just so clear and it's just great through the stereo headphones there. Yeah, so I listened to Stand and Deliver by Giant. This is obviously the US melodic hard rock band at the back, with the sort of the 80s influence brand of melodic stuff that they do. 6th studio album, only the 3rd apparently since returning in 2010. And obviously, there's a lot I like about this, really. It's my kind of thing. There's Kent Hilly, for one thing, gives it, the Coverdale-esque vocals. Then there's the choruses and the sort of general heavy sort of AOR feel to it. At times, I think they remind me of that band. Do you remember a band called Only Child from the 80s? I think they released an album called Only Child, which I think I bought as well. I think I've got it in my collection somewhere. So they do remind me a little bit of that. They've got some nice riffs. They've got lots of Saurian sort of guitar solos, really for fans of Europe, Journey, all those sort of bands in between. And, I like that sort of stuff, as you know. So for me, it was good. It wasn't brilliant, but it was good. And that's fine. I listened to Bad Choices by Rockets. This is a sort of great up-tempo rock and roll album. Touches of Buck Cherry on there. It's got bits of Volbeat on there. It's got little bits of AC/DC, I guess, all welded together with sprinklings of New Wobbum. It's good for me. It's a five-piece band from Finland. I know very little about them. I've not come across them before, but it's album number 3, as it happens. And all three, I went back and listened to the other two. All three have a very different production sound. So, that was interesting. But this one's a really enjoyable listen, so I like that. My album of the week, though, was very clear this week. It was a surprise as well, because I knew nothing much about this band and not really listened to them. They're off the radar. Maestro by Magic Pie. Real surprising delight, this album. Real eclectic mix of songs. Real sort of unique sound. They had touches of sort of modern Deep Purple. It turns out they're a Norwegian progressive rock band. I didn't know, because I don't follow progressive rock that much. Very interesting, very well produced, very rewarding. So sometimes you just have to pick up an album and it can really reward you for that time. And apparently they date back to 2001, and it's album number 5. I need to go back and listen to a lot more, but I really liked it. Really good songs on there. And if you like, even if you don't really like progressive rock, if you like a bit of Deep Purple, you're going to like this. And so I'm going to pick Maestro by Magic Pie.
Okay. I only got a chance to listen to 2 albums this week. I got a chance to listen to Nowhere Bound from Death Before Disorder and Nation's Neurosis from Waltari. 2 completely different albums. And Death Before Disorder is a hardcore band. They're not reinventing the wheel here. If you've heard Death Before Disorder before, and you're a hardcore fan, check this album out because you'll probably enjoy it. And the Waltari is, they're a Finnish band, if I'm not mistaken. They're big in Finland. I found out about them 2 or 3 albums ago, where there were a few tracks by them that I really enjoyed. I need to give this a further listen, to be honest with you. It's got a little of everything. It's got hard rock. It's got some more modern stuff on there. There's a track called Diversity, which mixes a lot of different styles of music. And because of that, that's going to be my album of the week. It's going to be the Waltari album. But the like I said, the Death Before Dishonor, if you're a hardcore fan, check that one out. Moving on to the 23rd, we had new albums from Chapang, Skunk and Ancy, Cerisian Valot, More Than John, Senna, Year of No Light, Unmerciful, Ossuary, Your Camera Just Went Black Again, Onslaught, Moonlight Haze, Holler, Midnight, Crystal Spiders, You're Back Again, The Devil Wears Prada, Head PE, Sweet, Cream, Live from Ronnie Romero, and a compilation from Don Felder, The Vault, 50 Years of Music. Jeremy, what did you listen to this week?
Yeah, this one I listened to Steel, Rust, and Disgust by Midnight, the band from Cleveland, actually set up as originally a side project by Athanar of the band Boulder. There's been, you know, a few albums released to date, and I'd say this is really sort of solid speed stroke sort of black metal with a, you know, sort of a Venom-like vocal, you know, a bit more melodic than Venom. And it's, a, you know, to be honest, it sort of works in a peculiarly, if I can say peculiarly, spectacular way. You know, it's a little more sort of rock and roll than the, than, you know, sort of Venom are. So, yeah, that's interesting. They sort of write sort of old style black sort of Sodom type metal songs with sort of new album influences. Again, you know, they're sort of that you'd expect from the sort of Venom influence there. So it's not entirely unique, but it's sort of strangely compelling, I'd say. You know, it's sort of got very short, punchy, punky songs to it. So, yeah, it was an interesting listen. I quite enjoyed it. Sinister Seduction by Crematorium, a sort of traditional thrash band from Croatia. A little problematic for me, really, because the vocalist has a sort of heavy accent and not quite the power required for that kind of album, I'd say. So, you know, it's full of tight thrashing rhythms, some strong riffs to get your teeth into. But there's something a little bit missing from it. But anyway, it's the band's second album. It's, you know, there's some fun bits to it. It's just the sort of lyrical qualities a bit lacking, which, you know, you can get with some bands. So not quite up there. And finally, I listened to Live at Rock Imperium Festival by Ronnie Romero. Ronnie appears, as we know, on absolutely everything. But there's three things I like about Ronnie. One is I like him in Elegant Weapons. I think he does a really good job on that album. I like him in Lords of Black because I like him when he does it heavy. And I like him on this because, again, he's doing mostly his own songs. He does a cover of Dio's Rainbow in the Dark. And it's pretty good because he... really, you know, he's got a really good guitarist playing here that sort of, you know, adds a lot of bite. He's got a good song selection. He's leaning on the latest album, which was his best solo album, Too Many Lies, Too Many Masters, because before that he was doing sort of covers and being quite soft and, you know, that wasn't so good. So, and I went back and listened to that studio album and I really like it. I forgot, you know, that we sort of covered it in a week and I thought, yeah, it's actually stood the test of time. It's a good album. So, yeah, I think overall I'm going to give it to Ronnie for doing a really decent live set and, you know, hyping up the crowd, and he hyped me up.
Okay.
So there we go.
Excellent. So I listened to The Painful Truth by Skunk and Ancy, and this is a band that I've followed for over 30 years at this point. And their first two albums are probably their heaviest. Their second album, Stoosh, is probably my favorite. This album is probably their most complete album since Stoosh, at least for me. because there's a lot of, there's a little of everything on here. I was going to say there's it's probably more rocking, but there's some poppy type things on here as well that sound good. Skin has a great voice. The rest of the band is great as always. So if you're a fan of the band, check this one out. But I'm going to give my album of the week to the band that says that that they're the forerunners in the subgenre of rotten roll, which you already described before. It is Steel, Rust, and Disgust by Midnight. It's funny because I think you described it perfectly. And every time they put out a new album, I think, oh, I think we've heard everything that they've done before. And then you listen to the album, you're like, yeah, but it's still catchy. There's still cool stuff to it that makes you want to listen to the songs over and over again. So I'm going to give it to Midnight for this week. All right, so let's get into the last week of May. Was the 30th. We had new albums from The Speaker Wars, Wolves at the Gate, Gridiron, Doobie, Death Rattle, Something in Finnish, Graceless, Kerriga, Lord Vigo, Horrenda, Low Before the Breeze, Rivers of Nil, Catone, The Dead Daisies, who put out a blues album, The Haunted, and Obsidian Tongue, an EP from Vader, a reissue. The reissue everyone was waiting for from Skid Row. Revolutions Per Minute, and a live opera album from La Suspendida is the name, how you pronounce it in Spanish. It's The Suspended, feminine. So anyway, what'd you listen to this week, Jeremy?
Yeah, this particular week I thought was one of the worst that we've had. You know, it's kind of like the week before Christmas where there's hardly anything out that we want to listen to. I mean, I did listen to the Dead Daisies album because, you know, as you know, I am a bit of a fan of the Dead Daisies, probably more than anyone in your Patreon group. And I thought it was okay. You know, I thought they covered all the traditional blues numbers that you'd expect to hear on a blues album, but I thought they did some of them quite well. They did them in the sort of they got a bit of an Aerosmithy tone to them. So yeah, I thought it was okay. It was listenable and it was fine. But I didn't go. I did listen to one or two other albums beyond that, but I didn't get anywhere near selecting any that I thought I really enjoyed. There just wasn't anything out there that particular week. And it was a bit of a disappointment really, because we're only in June and I expected, you know, to have something better for that week. So I'm going to have to pick the Dead Daisies for that particular week.
Okay. I think after having a few really strong months, April and May have been kind of weak months for releases.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. There were some good things that came out in April, for example. If I look back, you know, I have been listening to the Sick and Beautiful a lot. I have been listening to the Ghost quite a bit. The Wednesday 13 album as well. But then I get to May and hard time picking out. I listened to the Haunted, Songs of Last Resort. And again, if you're into what the Haunted has done, especially after they've gotten back together again and their earlier releases, this is going to be right up your alley. It is them doing their brand of thrash. And it is that. There really wasn't anything else that stood out to me this week. And that's why for me, It's going to be the haunted songs of the last resort. So let's go over this again. Let's see, for the first week, for May 2nd, Jeremy picked, is this Falling from Grace at the Edge? No, you picked Under Ruins.
That's right.
Age of the Void. I picked Gypsy Pistoleros, Welcome to the Church of the Pistoleros. On the 9th, you picked Paralyze, Rumble, and Roar from, by Paralyzed. I picked The Ugly Side of Me from Tetrarch. For the 16th, you picked Magic Pie with Maestro. I picked Waltari with Nation's Neurosis. On the 23rd, you picked Ronnie Romero live at Rock Imperium Festival. And I picked Midnight, Steel, Rust, and Disgust. And for the last week in May, the 30th, you picked Looking for Trouble by the Dead Daisies, and I picked Songs of Last Resort from The Haunted. So, cool. Let's, it's stuck. Play. Those are our picks for May 2025. And we're going to get into some other topics here. Jeremy, did you get a chance to listen to episode 414, which was released this morning in audio?
Yeah.
Okay. So I want to hear your take on my take of the Iron Maiden set list.
Yeah. I thought you were going to ask that question. Okay. Let's just sort of summarize what your take was on it. Your take was that it was a decent list, but there wasn't enough deep cuts and you were a bit disappointed by it. Is that a fair resume of it?
Yes, I would say it's a good set list, but after them saying, oh, we're going to play songs we've never played live before, which is already false. We're going to play songs that we haven't played in a long time. There really isn't anything that they haven't played since Bruce and Adrian has come back. The closest thing to that is they played Killers for the first time since 99. But again, they played it when Bruce and Adrian just first came back.
So as
cool as that is, as cool as a lot of those songs are, and as much as I appreciate the Clairvoyant and Killers and Seventh Son of a Seventh Son, not exactly, Drifter or Only the Good Die Young or Sea of Madness or Twilight Zone or Purgatory or Flash of the Blade for that matter, there wasn't that oh shit moment to say, oh my God, they're playing this one now. It's just, okay, cool. Yeah. So you've dug this song out after 10 years after previously playing it on the previous five tours.
Yeah. Yeah. And the crucial issue was really what you pointed out in your podcast was that they'd actually flagged this beforehand. They sort of said, or they intimated that they were going to play some deep cuts. They were going to retire songs and they were going to sort of, shake it up a bit. Basically, that's what they were hinting at. And that, and we look at the set list and we think, well, yeah, we can see one or two there. We can see three or four there, but it's not quite what we were expecting. I think we were kind of expecting, well, maybe at least half the set list would be songs that either have never been played or haven't been played for a long, long time. Obviously, you expect the three encores to be, the favorites. I was expecting actually Number of the Beast to be an encore with maybe Running Free or The Trooper, those sort of songs. But yeah, I agree to a large extent with you, because I think we were all sold a little pop, and you know, we were sold the fact that get tickets for the tour because you're going to hear different songs on it. And it's not quite that way, but I'm sort of thinking, just dialing it back a bit, I'm thinking from their point of view, these are old guys now. They want to play a lot of familiar songs. They don't want to play too many new ones. They've also got a new drummer on board who, you know, may be familiar with some of the big songs that I may have known for, because he sort of plays them anyway, and didn't want to sort of play stuff that, you know, is a bit less or a bit out there, shall we say. So I'm just being devil's advocate and sort of thinking it through. As you know, I'm going to go and see them on this tour. I'm going in a couple of weeks in Manchester, and, you know, I'm going to be quite happy listening to all of that. obviously, because, you know, there's some songs there I've never heard them play, because I, you know, they haven't played them for a long time, but I didn't actually hear them myself at that time. So, yeah, you know, I am blaming the drummer for the set list. Yeah, a little bit, a little bit. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, I guess on one hand, I'm a bit disappointed. And on the other hand, listen, Iron Maiden are still going. And that's a great thing.
Yeah. My thing with that, I mean, you're bringing Simon Dawson in. Wouldn't you have already said, all right, listen, Simon, you've got to learn these 20 songs.
Mm.
So, I mean, he's obviously an employee. Based on how they set things up, Nico still seems to be on the payroll somehow.
Mm.
Nico just isn't going to tour anymore. So does that mean we're going to get Nico on an upcoming album? Does it mean Simon's going to be the one playing on the next album? And it's just funny seeing people criticize him and saying, I mentioned this last week, the size of his drum set. And then it's, oh, well, he plays Nico's songs differently. Well, no shit. He's going to play songs differently. He's not Nico.
Mm.
You know, for as much as I practice and try to play the Nico songs like Nico, there's still going to be my flavor to it. So it's not going to sound exactly alike. And the same thing's going to happen with him. And listen, maybe the band doesn't want the songs to sound exactly like Nico or Clive playing. Maybe it's the band saying, you know what? We want you to have your own identity. So there you go. Edgar Winterson breaking some news here. Nico told me he's still a studio drummer. Well, let's hope if that's the case, they can make Kevin Shirley the studio gopher as opposed to the engineer producer. So, yeah, I mean, you're going to enjoy the show. My other thing is, oh, we don't do greatest hits shows. This looks a lot like a greatest hits to me.
Yeah, it does. It does, really. Yeah.
I mean, what are you missing? Can I play with can I play with Madness? I mean, what else? Flight of Icarus? I mean, there's a few singles they haven't included, but for the most part, these are all singles that were released at one point or another.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess, you know, they're a band now with a huge catalog. They've decided to do just a certain amount of albums on this, you know, the early albums. And they're going to be damned if they do, damned if they don't. They also probably do have to think about an audience and some, you know, we're the kind of guys who like to see deep cuts because we like to listen to lots of stuff. But there's lots of fans out there who really just do want the hits, if we're honest about it.
Mm-hmm.
There's people buying tickets out there, and I wouldn't be surprised if at least half the audience, maybe more, just want to hear all the hits. You know, they might have only seen Iron Maiden twice, and that's what they're going for.
Yeah, could be. So you brought up another point, which is seeing bands putting bands back together that we either haven't seen before or haven't seen in a long time. I'm assuming this is something that that you've been thinking about for quite some time.
Well, yeah, but it was also what jigged my memory was the Triumph get together very recently. It's on Blabbermouth about it. Then they're playing just a one-off three sort of track gig at some live sports event, and that is one band that I would like to see live. They didn't really play a lot in the UK, but I used to like them. And then that got me thinking about another Canadian band, which Johan is going to be very pleased I mentioned, because obviously I'd really like to see Rush together. I know it's only the two of them, but it's that would be nice to see some sort of Rush reunion. But yeah, I suppose there are a few bands out there that I would like to see come back and play. I would also like to see Whitesnake do a little bit more. I believe David Coverdale can't do it anymore. So that's obviously the reason. And the rest of the band, they've got together and they're also playing some Whitesnake stuff as a one-off. Because we discussed this a while ago, I think, and we were sort of saying whether Whitesnake would come back as the name only without David. And I sort of said, no, it wouldn't happen. Well, I guess you were kind of right, because they have come back and they are going to do this one off. But I think that's all it is. I think it's a guitar festival, actually. So, there's a few bands out there that would like to see reform and do it. And I guess Kiss is another, I'd like to see Kiss continue and do some more stuff. But obviously I realize that, guys in the 70s can't put on their boots and all the stuff and play it live. But yeah, there's one or two out there. What about you?
Who's the guitarist for Whitesnake? Is it Joel Holkstra? And who's the second one?
Yeah. Is it Red Beach?
It's not Red Beach.
No, he's gone, isn't he? Who's in there now? Can't remember who's in there now. They have so many guitarists, don't they? They go in and out all the time. I know Joel Holkstra is definitely.
Let's see.
Can't remember who was last in it.
Doug Aldridge.
Well, Doug's a while ago.
No, but he's...
Because he's gone off to Dead Daisies. He's been in Dead Daisies a while. He's definitely... you mean...
Bring this up.
You mean for this one-off? This one-off.
Yeah, so it's Marco Mendoza, Dino Jerlicic.
Yeah.
I pronounced that wrong. Jelusic. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So they're going to have Tommy Aldridge, Joel Hoekstra, Marco Mendoza, and keyboardist Michelle Lupi. Okay. So they've only listed one guitarist.
Right.
That's interesting because, for the most part, they've always been a two-guitar band.
Yeah.
Outside of when John Sykes was in there, I think is probably the only time they were a one guitarist band. But I don't know. Did they have a second guitarist during his tenure?
I can't remember now. I can't remember.
Okay.
Yeah. I've had so many guitarists that come in and out of that band, though.
Right.
Because obviously Vandenberg was in for a while, wasn't he, as well?
Yes. So to answer your question, we would have to resurrect the dead to make this happen. But
oh, yeah.
Black Sabbath with Dio.
With Dio, yeah. Yeah, you can't argue with that.
I've seen Dio. I've never seen Black Sabbath, and I've never seen Black Sabbath with Dio.
Right, I have.
You have seen Black Sabbath with Dio.
Yeah, they were heaven and hell. Okay. Yeah. I've seen Black Sabbath twice. I've seen Dio twice, and I've seen Black Sabbath with Dio once.
Okay. Yeah. So you've seen Sabbath with Ozzy twice, or it was once yes. with Ozzy? And,
okay. Yeah, no, twice with Ozzy. I saw them on the farewell tour, and I saw them at Download Festival headlining. And I saw Dio twice on his own when, you know, he's in his heyday, when he released Holy Diver and then the album after that. And I've also seen Heaven and Hell, which would be sort of not far before he died, really, I suppose.
Right.
And that was a really loud concert. I think they were supported by Lamb of God. I've got a feeling Lamb of God were supporting them. And I walked into the arena and it was so noisy when I walked in because I wasn't sort of warmed up for the music. Mm-hmm. So I didn't like Lamb of God so much, but yeah, Heaven and Hell. And they were really noisy as well. I mean, they were loud, to say loud, but very melodic, obviously.
Yeah, I saw Dio on his final solo tour where he wasn't playing any Black Sabbath as a result. Because he was on going back to Heaven and Hell.
Yeah.
So, all right. So here's another thing now that we're on the Sabbath topic. You can now purchase pay-per-view of the concert.
Yeah, I saw that today. Yeah, that's interesting. So how much is it? Do we know?
Yeah, it's 27 euros.
27 euros, right.
That's not bad.
It's not bad, yeah. And so what will that be? That'll be the whole day? You can just watch the whole stuff?
Yeah, it's saying stream access to watch the entire Back to the Beginning event starting July 5th at 3 p.m. British Standard Time, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and 7 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. VOD replay access to rewatch the entire event. VOD available from July 5th, shortly after event conclusion, until July 7th at 3 p.m. British Standard Time, 10 a.m., so on and so forth.
Mm. Well, I guess I'm very tempted to pay that. It's £25, roughly, UK. It's the same as you'd pay for, a day out anywhere else. If it's from 3 o'clock in the afternoon, you could just sit down and watch the whole thing from the comfort of your living room. Make sure you got plenty of food on hand. And I think that'd be quite fun.
I'm hoping that this is released somehow on DVD at some point because I can't watch it, unfortunately.
Right. I would guess it will be. I've got a feeling that this is going to be sold forever. And yeah, there's going to be ways of seeing this somehow. I wouldn't be surprised if it actually comes up as a repeat some other way in the future, you know, on a music channel or a, you know, other way where you'd be able to watch it for free eventually.
Yeah. So they have it billed as Black Sabbath, Ozzy Osbourne, Metallica, Guns N' Roses, Slayer, Tool, Pantera, Gojira, Hailstorm, Alice in Chains, Lamb of God, Anthrax, Mastodon, and Rival Sons, and many more.
It's kind of like a metal Live Aid because the proceeds are going to charity as well.
Yeah, so there you go. Edgar Winterson is saying he'll wait for the bootleg. If they're streaming this, it'll be online somewhere. All right. And the last thing that you brought up was the last three things that you had purchased.
Yeah, not quite that. The question was not quite that. It was three albums that kind of like put your money where your mouth is. I was trying to sort of say, you know, we do all these reviews over the years. And obviously we go out and actually purchase albums as well. Right. We actually do purchase the stuff. So just sort of thinking any three that you want. I mean, if it's the three last albums, that's fine. It doesn't matter.
Okay.
It can be three. I picked like the last album I purchased, but also two over, you know, several years back, over the last sort of 3 years or whatever. And I just wanted to pinpoint a few that I purchased. And I've actually got them here, so I can maybe do one at a time. Maybe we can do one each, and then The very last album that I purchased was this album, which I reviewed, I think, only a week ago. And it's the Heat Welcome to the Future album.
Okay.
There it is. Quite a melodic album, as I mentioned. Really into it. Really like Heat, the band. Seen them once live at Download Festival. Thought they were good. Missed them on this tour, which is a bit of a shame. But I like this album, and I like the particularly like Children of the Storm, which if you read a lot of the reviews of this album as well, they all mention that particular song. Really good song, which probably Europe would have loved to have released. It's in that vein. So, yeah, great. They always keep the quality up, and it's that type of music that I like.
Okay. All right, for me, I'm going to go with right over here, Jerry Cantrell, I Want Blood. Love the title track and love a lot of the aspects of this album. It was my album of the week when this came out last year, and an album that I still listen to all the time, and just posted the new video for the title track on Patreon. Go ahead. What's your next one?
Nice. Yeah. So the next one is the Victory album. This is not the latest album. It's the one before it, which is Gods of Tomorrow, which I really like this album. I think it's great. It's got a real tempo to it. There's some really, really good rocking songs on here. And I think it was a really good production. And I think at the time, if I remember rightly, because it's a few years old now, that I gave it a good review at the time. And I do remember hearing it originally on Young Metal, which, as we know, one of our friends does that, Brad. So, he got me into Victory, really. I listened to it on there and I thought, yeah, I like this band. This is real sort of typical hard rock, which, I like. So, yeah, I play that a lot. And there it is, Victory. Great.
Cool. My next choice is Leave a Scar.
Oh, yeah.
By Dee Snider. Great, great album. Makes me wonder why he doesn't want to release any more new music. I get it. It doesn't sell. It takes up too much time, so on and so forth. But I think fans would love to continue to receive albums just like this one. It's a great album. Again, this came out in 2021. It's 4 years old at this point, and I still listen to it.
Yeah.
So that would number two.
Yeah, that's the thing about us buying albums, isn't it? Because they're the stuff that we really like, and we are going to listen to them. And that's the great thing about having vinyl, having CDs, having physical music. Yeah. You know, you're going to put it on and you can feel it, you can touch it, you can read the liner notes, all that sort of stuff. So yeah, my next one is from 2023. It was another one that we recommended. It is Night Demon with Outsider. This is a band which I think I reviewed favorably at the time. I must have done because I bought the album. And it's also a band which I saw live. They supported Michael Schenker Group, not this latest time, but the time before I saw him. And they were really good live. We all enjoyed it. I went there with a couple of friends and we all thought they were really good live. They played three or four tracks from this album. There's only eight tracks on here, but they're a good rocking band and they deserve support. So I bought Night Demon with Outsider.
All right. So the next one here, this came out in 2019. I don't remember if we go this far back with doing these monthly album reviews or not, but I know that this was a video of the week. When I was doing them on Patreon, it is Anesthetic by Mark Morton, the Lamb of God guitarist. This has a lot of different types of hard rock and metal on it. And it's just designed just really neat. These are tarot cards, actually, that they designed. So it's really neat. And they're all based on each of the songs. I'm also going to give you a bonus here because this is from an interview that I did years ago, 2021. So this is newer. It is Armageddon by the band Manimal.
Oh, yeah. I remember that one. That's a great album.
Yeah. This is a really strong album. It is really good. If you're really into Judas Priest and Queensryche, this is going to be right up your alley. I mean, when I interviewed the singer, there was no shame at all with him saying that those were his two biggest influences. So that's kind of what you get on here. Mm. So anything else you want to bring up as far as purchases like that?
No, I haven't got access to any more next to me. So I think everyone's going to have to wait till next time. So I think we might have to revisit this again. This is a good little feature, I think, where we're showing off all our albums. Yeah.
Now that I understand what you're going for, I'll be ready there next time for our little version of show and tell here. Yeah. Anyway, so I do want to thank everyone who is watching this live. Edgar Winterson in the chat. Want to thank anyone who's listening to or watching the replay of this. We're helping all you folks out with albums to check out and new music that's coming out. Not every month is definitely a home run, but we try to help out in any way that we can. Edgar Winterson is telling us that his pick is Fallen Angel of Doom by Fallen Angel of Doom. All right, there you go. Awesome. On that note, we will end today's show. Thank you, Jeremy, for joining me once again. And we will see you guys right here on Signals from Mars. See you, folks.
Subscribe to the show on all your favorite podcast platforms like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon, and more. Go to signalsfrommars.com for more information. This concludes our show.